This is RTI, from the heart of Europe to the world, the station of the stars.
Have mercy, Mr. Attitude, Eric Wiltshire.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Pokbrad with Rachel in Queensland, Lee over in Georgia, and I'm sure they'll understand Dobrý deň, and me over here in Slovakia, Pekný deň.
I'm going to try Dobrý deň when I go out in a bit.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea. They might look at you and go, he's Russian.
If I get punched,
yeah,
it means something else over here.
Yes.
We go over to Slovakia.
No, it's actually, it's Romania, where if you say, I can't say the words on here, but if you say the word, it means naughty parts of the anatomy.
Which word?
I can't say that, but it's a conventional.
Give us a clue. What do you begin with?
It's a fruit.
A fruit.
The English word for a fruit means a naughty part of the anatomy in Romania. Anyway, how much of this do you recognise or resemble, dear listener? Do you work in bed? Because apparently, about a third of Brits do. Now, we exclude Lee Banks from this because 9 times out of 10, he's always in bed, and that's where his office is, in his bed.
What a place to have your office. Everything's hard work in bed now, isn't it?
It's hard work in bed. Oh, that's an age thing, is it?
Well, it just always used to be hard. Now it's hard work.
It's not an age thing. It's not an
that's
age
disgusting.
Thing.
Disgusting. I'm ashamed of myself now.
You are. That was a really bad joke. Apparently, over 1 in 5 people who work in bed spend 14 hours a week doing so and admit to checking their emails before kissing their partner.
Ew! What? Morning breath, you don't kiss your partner. Well, it depends where you kiss her.
It explains divorce rates, doesn't it?
It does. It does, apparently. Although
morning breath does. That's as bad as tea breath.
Is it? Because I always recall the big argument years ago in the UK about having a television in your bedroom. That was supposed to be bad for you.
Now yes, that was a no-no.
That was a no-no. Now it's second nature.
What? Watching telly?
Yeah.
In bed?
Hmm.
I don't see the point.
Why?
Well, there's all sorts you can do in bed other than watch telly. You can sit in your lounge and watch telly. You can sit in your kitchen and watch telly. There's all sorts you can do in bed, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, but you can't sort of cuddle up together, laying all nice and warm under the duvet, watching a good movie.
Well, you can if
unless you have a bed in the lounge room.
Telly in bed.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why you have a telly in the other room.
Oh, I see. I understand now.
Yes, you see. But anyway, apparently 29% of people look at their emails whilst lying in bed.
Yep, I do that.
Do you?
I do. You know I do. You tell me.
I do too.
Do you really? I don't do that.
I didn't until I got my iPad, and now I do. But you know what? The only emails I check are the ones from you.
Oh, that's nice. Oh, I'm happy now. No, I mean, I do take my phone into the bedroom, but I don't check emails on it.
You want to call somebody and let them know how
impressive
you are. Yeah, do a bit of everything, Eric. I get called a police, believe it or not.
But they do reckon that the smartphone is the one that's to blame for all of this. Even people in the morning, they wake up and the first thing they do is look at their phone for messages.
I think it's quite a sophisticated thing to do, to lie there in bed, looking in your morning glory, old, shiny and excited and a bit bleary, and to check your emails while you have a cup of black coffee. What's better?
No, I must confess, I normally get, and have done for the last 8 years, you're noisy in the morning, and that's probably as I flick between various news channels to see what's happening in the world while I have me breakfast.
In bed?
No, in the lounge.
Well, what's it got to do with the subject then?
Well, because I'm
actually, I understand what you're saying, because I live with a noisy person. Now,
noisy.
When I say this...
Yes.
I know. And so, exactly. I'm not going near the place, can you imagine?
Yeah.
Handcuffs, yeah. Me, bad boys, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
I'll be going everywhere by shipping container, thank you very much. But I live with a very lovely man who has to go to work at 4 o'clock in the morning.
What does he do?
He's a surveyor.
Why doesn't he work from bed if he's got to go out at that time?
Because he can't survey from bed. He's got to be actually at the point of where he's surveying.
It could be on a webcam.
Right, to get technical.
You get webcam.
You get a webcam. Stop showing off.
If there's a way to do it from bed, my Robbie will figure it out. Don't you worry about it.
I'll give him some heads up on some decent cameras.
Dude, you know how to contact
him. Really long wire, wouldn't they? Say, if he was in Brisbane and surveying in Sydney, you'd have to have a big wire.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's a really long cut.
Yeah.
We've got this great huge double front door. It's quite heavy, and our bedroom is right by the front door. And when he leaves, he doesn't mean to, but it slams.
Mm-hmm.
And I awake him with a jolt at 4 a.m. His alarms don't bother me because I'm sort of used to them. I kind of don't really – I wake up a bit, but I don't wake up. So I hear this bang, and then I'm startled awake, and it's 4 a.m., and I'm sitting there thinking, okay – I can't go back to sleep. So first thing I do is flick on the television to see what's going on with the news, see what's been going on, who's died, what's happening, you know, all that stuff. And then I will grab the iPad.
Dreams, yeah.
Yeah, and then I grab the iPad and I see if there's anything come from Sir Eric Wilshire, and that's what I do.
Well, every morning when the first thing you do is to see if you've got a message off Eric Wilshire. That's a bit suspect, right?
We communicate very heavily, and it's all work related. I must clarify.
In bed,
I do.
There, so I rest my case. You work in bed. I work in bed. Can I just ask my young son here, my 4-year-old son? Do you work in bed?
Yes, Daddy.
Yeah, see,
yes, Daddy.
He's covering into me. Ed, I used to do that when I was...
No, actually, I do confess now, last year, when I was a bit poorly, and the boss actually said to me, go home, I did...
He wasn't lying next to you in bed, was he?
No. My other half was out, so I managed to sneak the laptop into the bedroom and worked. But a couple of years prior to that, and this is a Slovak trait, when you go into hospital for an operation here, you have to leave all your clothes behind, put pyjamas on, you don't take anything in the hospital, which is why they don't have superbugs here. Yeah. So the woman says to me, no, you've got to wear pyjamas. I said, I'm going home then. Oh, I said, I'm going home then. Why? I said, I haven't got pyjamas. They're for old people. I don't wear pyjamas. Nah, I'm going home then. So she said, well, you can't go home. I said, well, I'm going home. Eventually, after a lot of hooing and ahhing, they agreed that I could wear my jeans and T-shirt.
In bed?
To go into the hospital, physically just to go into the hospital. At which point I pick up...
Into the building.
Into the building. So at which point I then go, okay, this is great. I pick up my laptop case to go in. And she says, you can't take that in. I said, why not? She was in here. I said, a laptop. She said, oh, it'll interfere with all the medical equipment. I said, no. Trust me on this. I've done physics. It won't. And you can't break the laws of physics. She said, well, you can't take it. I said, I'm going home then. This went on for ages. Eventually, my other half phones my chairman up and goes, he's being deliberately difficult. To which the boss goes, nothing. He's being quite sensible, really. He doesn't want to get bored. I'll phone the director of the hospital. So we're a couple
RTI
of minutes,
does it again.
Yeah. A couple of minutes later, this bloke comes out and goes, oh, Mr. Wiltshire. He spoke impeccable English. It was lovely. And he said, oh, you want to take this? Yes, no problem. And he sort of goes, blah, like very aggressively at this nurse who goes, gulp. And she just sort of like looks at me as if to go, I hate you. So then we get in. And I confess that I do occasionally smoke a cigarette. So, though, 8 o'clock, they lock the hospitals up. And I'm going, what? I said, look, if I can't go out for a wander and have a fag, I'm going home. Eventually, the doctor comes up and he goes, I found a spare electronic key for you.
You're not serious. Did you do that?
I'm deadly serious because they were really all a bit worried by now. At which point, they've now put me into a private room so I can use my internet because I've got my internet box with me as well.
Which
is powered by an extension lead I borrowed from the hospital. So I've got DVDs on me on the thing ready to watch. I've got my internet with me, my laptop set up, my phone's charging. Life's perfect in this room. I've got every comfort of home. And I think, well, I want a cigarette, so I've got this key. And this other bloke goes, Pan Wiltshire, Fychik, which means Mr. Wiltshire smoking. So I go, yeah. And then he's going out for a... And there's this whole queue of blokes. I'm like the Pied Piper. And we all go out. The doctor comes down. He goes, but you can't all stay out here. I said, well, we are. And about 10 o'clock at night, he looks at me. And he says, no. And I went, yeah. And he went, oh. And his face just like went... Oh, hell. As I got up, and everybody else gets up, fight you, yeah, and we'll go wandering out again, put about 10 o'clock.
That's a great escape.
Needless to say, they were very happy when I left.
I was going to say, they said, go home then.
Yeah, go home then.
Yeah, the only experience I had like that was my one and only sojourn into hospital was a few years ago. And at that time, I smoked regularly.
Mm.
And
it's bad for you, anybody listening.
It is. And I made the nurses let me out into the yard so I could have a smoke.
Mm.
But when I got back to the ward, everybody was being so noisy. I'm not because we're all poorly, and I suppose we're allowed to be, but I couldn't sleep. And it was also incredibly depressing.
Mm.
So what I did, I went out for a fag, got in my car, and went to sleep in my car. They sent a search party for me. They thought I'd disappeared. Yeah, and they found me asleep in my car.
I'll tell you what.
Trying to come in and take your blood pressure and all that stuff, do your obs and all
that.
Could have
checked oil while I was there.
But I'll tell you what, you can't do that in America. If you go into a hospital in America, and everybody will back me up on this, they put your band on so they know who you are.
So you're allowed to listen to some music then?
No. They put this band on you. If you try and go out through the doors, it sets off an alarm.
Ooh.
So in Australia, when you're in hospital in Australia, they stand a member of the Australian Federal Police at your door.
No.
What, to see if you start laughing?
No, Rachel, that was when you were in prisoner. You're getting the two areas mixed up.
Oh, that's right. It was that hospital.
That's the one.
It was the other kind of hospital.
You're mixing
I'm
fiction.
I'm going to hospital in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, no, you're mixing.
I'm going to hospital in a couple of weeks.
What was it like in prison, Rachel?
It was really, really interesting and educational, and I learned how to be an excellent criminal. And I also explored some other things about myself that I was questioning.
Yes,
but
exactly.
I'm no longer questioning.
Right.
But I'm going to hospital in a couple of weeks to have these wisdom teeth out, right? And do you know what's going to happen?
Yeah.
You can't talk when you come out.
I can't. And that's going to be the biggest pain for me. Rob's going to love it. He's taking the day off to drive me to Rockhampton, which is where the surgeon is located, because I live in Gladstone and there isn't a dental surgeon here. So
right.
I have to drive an hour and a half north to go to hospital. But they said, come in the day before, stay overnight, blah, blah, blah. And I went, nah. I'm coming in that day. I'll have the consult with the surgeon that morning. I'll have the surgery that afternoon, and then you let me out. And they said, okay.
Really?
So I don't need to take anything. Yep.
Well, we're all very awkward towards hospitals, aren't we?
Oh, just a bit. I think we better move on to some news again before we go on for hours. I think this is rather funny, the next story, because a French court has summoned IMF chief to court. Christine Lagarde has been summoned by French court to answer questions over alleged abuse of office during her time as France's finance minister.
Well, yeah.
Is she? Are you suggesting she's like a journalist in an abusing position?
I think that's a heinous remark for you to make. I think that is terrible because, actually, leave the poor journalists alone for the minute because we might be talking about them later. If you just think in very simple, straightforward terms about what the banking system has done to the world in the past few years and has been proved to do certainly over the last 2 years and what's happened to bank chiefs, How corrupt is the bank system that uses our money to perpetuate its own wealth? And what is being suggested in this summons that Christine Lagarde has done just again confirms the paucity and absolute corruptness of the banking system, the place we all put our money.
But haven't you seen? Didn't you hear the cheer?
Well. No, it didn't reach Georgia.
Did it not? I'll tell you what, there was finance ministers and chancellors all around the world cheering when this news went out.
Well, they will, yeah. That's like, let's get on with this and say everything's really good, chaps. We don't want to get wrapped up in this.
No, yeah. Exactly. Anyway, on to some more frivolous news. Here we go, my great impression of a song. There was this hole in the ground, so big and sort of round it was, and there was I digging this hole. And it happened in Chicago.
it's happening everywhere.
Apparently.
What was that then?
That was Bernard Cribbins.
Of course it was.
Of course it was, yes. Not as good as him, of course. After huge rains in Chicago, I mean, America have really got getting in the neck this week.
Could you sing it better, Rachel?
Sorry, what was that?
Could you sing it better? Did you ever sing the Cell Block H?
No, I didn't. I didn't sing that, but I'll sing Georgia for you later.
Sing.
Anyway, there's this big hole appears, and this bloke's driving down the road, and he just drives straight into this hole that appears in front of him. And this other bloke was just about to go to work, opens the front. It must have been Rob. Opening the front door in the morning, goes out. And as he's standing there, he sees his car disappear down the hole. Can you imagine phoning the office and going, I'm going to be a bit late, my car's just fallen in a hole.
I tell you what.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's happening everywhere in America, though. These sinkholes are happening all over the place. It's really weird.
We've actually got some sinkholes that were on the news here a couple of weeks ago as well. It's really weird. Really, really,
What's
really
happening?
Weird. I don't know.
Well, it's just the roads are terrible. The roads in Britain are worse than they are in somewhere where the roads are really bad.
Like Georgia.
I wasn't going to say that, so that's what stopped me. I'm still going to get out of this country.
That's true. But anyway, no one was injured. That's rather nice. And then there's the really brave tour guide.
I'm not so sure if this bloke was brave.
Why, what do you think he was then?
Well, I think he was just a bit of a show-off.
Oh, I see. So anyway, this tour guide...
Steve Irwin, wannabe.
Yeah.
Rach.
It's Steve Irvine come back.
He's back.
Oh, that was sad.
It was sad, actually.
Under the guise of Tommy Owen.
Indeed, because apparently he did snake jujitsu on this here python that was 10 foot long.
Listen, this python was just having a bit of a crawl around. It wasn't attacking anybody. It wasn't doing anything wrong. And this big show-off tour guide... jumped on it, wrestled it, and then held it still while his mate chopped its head off. I think there's something pretty despicable about this.
Well, no, not really, because...
I just think... Cool.
It wasn't
coincidence that it was there when they... I reckon it's a bit of a show, you know? I think it's a bigger conspiracy. I think it just happened to be there when this tour guide happened to be bringing these tourists past. And, oh, no, it's a python. Don't worry, everybody. I'll save you.
Sorry, it was a conspiracy.
No, do you know who I blame for all this?
The python.
No, the people that brought the pythons from a different country into another country where they didn't exist. And then because they got a bit too big, they let them go.
Well, I think that is a very good point because people did used to actually keep snakes as pets, didn't they?
Yes.
And then, the squeeze happened and all that sort of thing. And they had to let them go. They ran out of money. I think it's terrible. I really think this story is terrible. This Tommy Owen should be looked into.
And then to make matters worse in America, there's now Yum Yum Meals on Slime. Giant snails. The trouble is you can't eat them. I did check.
Why? Why can't you eat them?
Because they can poison you. These particular giant snails have some kind of parasite with them, which is called rat lungworm. Rat lungworm, which can infect humans. And we can die.
Well, don't eat them then, you stop.
Well, that's true, but apparently some of them get as big as rabbits.
What, snails as big as rabbits?
Yeah.
And they've got little houses on the back.
It's the mutants. It's the alligators in the sewers all over again.
it's a good film, Rachel, here.
Here's one for you, right, because Eric won't understand this.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah. It's about Norman Mailer, because I love him.
Ladies and gentlemen, Rachel and I discovered before the show that we are actually both intelligent aesthetes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Now, the first time that I ever ate snails, and this is the truth, Rachel, and you'll know what I'm talking about, was in the Midland Hotel in Manchester with a very good friend of mine who was called Nicholas Montserrat.
Oh!
The man who wrote
really?
The PC!
God,
you're kidding!
God, they're off again.
Yeah, no, he was my mate. And he took me to the Midland Hotel.
Should just fade him down again. We were no telling, because he'll go on for hours.
What? I would have eaten a pile of, you know, what, to have dinner with that guy.
Yeah,
well,
he was
now Rachel's doing
you know,
it, so I'll fade her down as well. Because I'll go on, I'll just be all sort of, you know, thespian style for hours.
Eric, he's just trying to ruin this story for everybody now.
Sorry.
I have no idea who the cruel sea is, who sponsor that was.
Oh, right, yes,
it's
yes.
Like teacher saying, if you haven't got
it's
enough for everybody,
film,
then don't
Eric.
Have
anything. I've got a piece of news for you.
What?
This is kind of arty.
Go on.
May the force be with you again,
oh,
again, again.
No. I'm excited about this. I'm excited.
Are you?
They dug Carrie Fisher up again, haven't they?
Well, I have
you leave her alone. She's bipolar disorder.
I am slightly cynical over this.
Which fault she lives at?
Because this explains why Disney bought the studios, whereby they're now going to make... Well, every summer there's going to be a release of a new Star Wars movie. May the Force be with you. And everybody seems to be using the adverts of characters on the television at the moment. And I think the only reason Disney bought it was to get the Star Wars franchise, to be honest.
See, this isn't news, Eric. This isn't news. My 15-year-old son who's sitting with me now knew all about that a long time before you brought that up.
No, that's not the news.
No.
The news that they bought the franchise is old.
Yes.
Exactly. What would you say? Don't pick on me.
No, but they've released the dates now of the films.
Oh, whoopee-doo.
They're talking about who's going to be in them, but do you know what? I don't... April Fool happened, right? I don't do April Fool. I think it's ridiculous. I think it's for the troglodytes.
Right.
I don't participate in it. However,
are you a troglodyte?
I'll play
the song in a minute for you. Yeah, go on.
One of my heroes in life is George Takei.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was, you know, Mr. Sulu from Star Trek, and he's a wonderful man, and I got to meet him when he came to Australia.
I hate you!
I love
Star Trek.
It's brilliant.
I never watched Star Trek, but I recognised him, and he's a real environmentalist and stuff, so I had a really very long and very lovely conversation with him. He put on his Facebook page that he had just been green-lighted as a character with the first new Star Wars film that is about to be put out. And there's a picture of him in Jedi robes with a lightsaber. Mm. And I thought, Star Trek meets Star Wars. This is like the collision of like all things just geeky. Like the nerds are going to explode. It's going to be really... And then somebody told me that it wasn't true, and I was really annoyed because, A, it was after 12 o'clock, so full on you, and, B, like, George Takei would be brilliant in Star Wars.
Yes.
He would, but Star Wars, all Star Wars is an upmarket Star Trek, and Star Trek was terrible, absolutely appalling. That was like an upmarket.
Oh.
What was those?
Oh. Wash your mouth out with
supercar.
You're not going to get back into England. You're going to have a parade of like Steve Jobsy, Bill Gatesy type guys,
Mr. Banks,
of like when they were younger, and they're going to kill you. They're going to kill you. They're going to pummel you with.
Go to the salt mines
for a long time.
You go to the salt mines of Georgia and wash your mouth out. How could you?
Star Trek, smart Trek.
There is
like
a fundamental flaw,
like
though.
Oil.
There's a fundamental flaw with Star Trek.
It was made.
No. who's going to do Darth Vader?
I can do Darth Vader. You sound like a prophetic Darth Vader.
Well, because Richard LaParmitter is no longer with us.
Oh, yes, is he the one who did Darth Vader?
Yeah, he did Darth Vader.
Somebody listen to me.
Who was the Johnny Green Giant one who did? He did
Darth
Vader.
Somebody listen to me, for the love of God.
James Earl. Rachel, were you talking? Sorry,
Rachel, were you talking?
I'm going insane. James Earl Jones. James Earl Jones.
You when you were in Sylvester Cell Block H, didn't he?
James Earl Jones was the voice of Darth Vader.
Did you see that? The then, Eric. Yeah. Did you see that professionalism then?
Yeah.
Sorry, Rachel, carry on.
Sorry, Rachel, off you go.
Go on.
No. Going home.
Rachel, we've given you the stage.
Rachel.
James Earl Jones voiced the character of Darth Vader. The other bloke was just his
body.
What was
his name? So
James Earl Jones can voice Darth Vader still because he's very much alive. He is currently in Australia doing Driving Miss Daisy with Angela Lansbury. Thank you very much.
Rachel.
I'm glad you told us that. That was really interesting.
I will sleep tonight now, but there is one other thing, Rachel. Rachel.
You are still there, Rachel.
You are at home, Rachel. Mm. You don't have to go home, Rachel. You're already there.
You got a lady sulk on now.
I loathe you.
I loathe you too. The Pink Floyd. I've got time to do a couple of more. Oh, we won't do anything about that. We will probably do. Let me just have a quick look now because we've got so much stuff this week that we haven't been able to do. We are going to finish with a Georgian connected story.
All right.
Which is on page 10 of your running order, chaps. Pink pea could reduce your blood pressure. This is all to do with beetroot juice.
If you've got pink pea, it does reduce your blood pressure. It's because you're dead.
No, it's true. Drinking a cup of beetroot juice can lower blood pressure, researchers say. So you've got to have loads of borscht, Lee, because you're in Georgia.
Yeah.
And apparently, this really does bring down hypertension. What? It does all sorts for you. It's brilliant.
It's wonderful. Borscht is probably the world's greatest food. I first experienced it in proper, I'm not talking about like the canned stuff you get at Sainsbury's or any other supermarket in England. Yeah. The proper stuff. And the borscht over here. What are those? There's something else we have over here. What are those things called? My 15-year-old son. We've forgotten. That's what happens when you're a teenager in your 40s.
No, I've never had borscht.
That's what happens when you're from the loins of a Banks.
Yeah, exactly.
Borscht is sort of...
He's always just let me down.
Onions. It's soup, isn't it? It's onions, beetroot, carrots, and it's really sort of purified down, cooked for hours. And I did have it once in London. I hated it. Once I got it in pot bread, I loved it, and I still do to this day. But apparently it's really, really good for you. But it does have one awful side effect, which is it can turn your urine pink.
And that is scary. I forgot you've had borscht and you've got pink urine. All of a sudden you're in a panic state. And ladies and gentlemen, just be very careful of that as a top tip.
Right, we're going to go now, boys. Okay, say goodbye, Rachel.
Goodbye, Rachel.
Say goodbye, Lee.
Bye, Lee.
And goodbye to Georgia.
This is RTI, from the heart of Europe to the world, the station of the stars.